He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst, and we've got some green on the screen here to begin a new day, a day when NVIDIA will report after the close of the market today, arguably the most highly anticipated earnings report of the earnings season. And it's interesting that it comes way at the end. I mean, 98% of the companies have already reported, except for NVIDIA. The S&P is up 62 right now. That's up almost 1%. The Dow is up just 100. That's a quarter of a percent. The NASDAQ, maybe those NVIDIA earnings are leaking. I don't know, but the NASDAQ's up 337 right now, up 1.5%. The Russell 2000 up a third of a percent. The bond market is pretty quiet. 4.10 right now is where we are on the 10-year. Gold is having a good day. Gold has been very resilient this year. A lot of dip buying taking place in gold. It's up 1.37% to 4,122. Oil remains very weak. Can't get any kind of a rally going here in 2025. We continue to have no exposure whatsoever. And Bitcoin is struggling. It is up 800, but it's cleared down at 91,819. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager for the last 26 years, chief investment officer, head market strategist at Gunderson Capital Management.
And we need a big hat rack for you, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, all the titles that I have, my business card, there's no room, rated talk show host, you know, all of this and that. But anyways, and we're here with Barry Keit. He's got more official designations than I do, CFP, CFA, CMT, whatever. But they're all important, you know, academics.
Junior. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Second.
Yes, you're a junior because your father was in the market for many, many years. A
couple more letters to throw by.
You know all the lingo, and you knew that dad was always grouchy when the market was down. Yeah. Well, it was kind of a shaky market yesterday. I did see some green shoots in crypto and the rare earth sectors, and there's some big news in the rare earths today. The ugly chart of the day yesterday, the ugly sweater, was Home Depot. Just an awful chart, tanking, breaking down, just horrible. The Dow was down 1.1% yesterday, and it was a lot of that was Home Depot. Lowe's is doing a little bit better here today. Bitcoin continues to remain very weak. I mean, it just can't get much traction. I'm not seeing the dip buying come in like it has in the past. And it's hanging out at around 91,000 right now and proving itself not to be exactly a place people want to run during a market correction, whereas gold, on the other hand, has been on the receiving end of that scared money. Well, Trump hints that a decision may have been made on the next Fed chair. He's been interviewing people, but he said yesterday, "I think I already know my choice for who will replace Jerome Powell when his term ends in May 2026," Trump told reporters at the White House. Of course, Waller for President's on my car, the bumper sticker. Trump did not signify who it is, but he did say, "I'd love to get the guy that's currently in there right now. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Jerome. They're not exactly friends." Trump's number one pick is Bessent, but Bessent does not want to leave his current post. He likes what he's doing. I think Bessent wants to get back to private. There's a little more money to be made in private enterprise. I really like Bessent. Every time he gets interviewed, he just seems to say the right things. He's very optimistic. very level-headed, and I think he's done a wonderful job. We've had a good rally in the bond market. This is one of the best years for bonds. And if anything, Bessin said it himself. He's the number one bond salesman for America. That's his job. Okay. Anyways, NVIDIA after the close tonight, I just think it's going to be hard for Jensen Huang to do much. There's so much already built into this stock. I can't see the needle being moved much one way or the other. I think there's maybe more downside risk than a big positive explosion to the upside. It's kind of hard to move a $5 trillion company, with all of the institutional support and all the ETFs it's in and all this and that. We'll see. I mean, look, it's been probably, it could be the biggest winner I've ever found. I think from a total dollar standpoint, of how much money we've made in NVIDIA over the last several years, it's probably the best stock I've ever found. I was calling it the best stock in the entire market a long time ago. You can go look at my articles on Seeking Alpha on that. We have cut it again in half. It was a pretty big chunk of our funds here, AUM, assets under management at Gunderson Capital, got a little bit too big for me, and we cut it from $20 million down to $10 million. NVIDIA is off about 12% from its October 29th peak. I think here's what NVIDIA has going for it. In the end, there's only going to be one or two big AI survivors, right? There's so many of them with Perplexity, and you've got Anthropic, you've got Gemini, you've got Grok, you've got OpenAI. And in the end, it's kind of like the search engines, you know. There was only one survivor or two, maybe, at best. I think the same thing's going to happen in AI. There's going to be a few dominant players. And there may be some niche players that specialize in certain areas for AI. But, you know, that doesn't stop Elon Musk from raising another $15 billion for his Grok, which I don't think has a very big market share. But the winner in all of this is NVIDIA, because they're providing the picks and shovels to all of these AI miners, right, Barry? Just like the gold miners in the gold rush of 49, the sourdough bread makers and the picks and shovels, they're the ones, the guys that made the Levi's, they made the money in that big boom while hit pay dirt, right?
Yeah, I mean, we looked at it, we've kind of been looking at it over, you know, really for the last, you know, 3+ years now, it seems like, maybe a little, maybe 2.5 years, but it's, looking at it from a, you know, where's the execution risk, right? So you're, you know, in the picks and shovels portion of the approach, right? You know, there's less execution risk, meaning, you know, everyone has to build, you know, you got to build a data center just to attempt to fail at AI, right? And
yeah.
So, you know, you do, you know, so you add on this, or the further you get away from, you know, let's just call it the data center, right? Then, of course, the more and more execution risk you have, most of, you know, and of course, go, you know, furthest out execution risk is probably in the software space nowadays, simply because, you know, AI could, you know, one day in a day change the software space, right?
At the same
time from a coding standpoint.
So. Maybe at some point there will be a space for lease in some of these data centers across America when, you know, some of these, not every one of them is going to survive. There's just no question about it. There's new news out there on Tylenol. Comments from two judges on a 3-member federal appeals court panel Monday indicated that more than 500 lawsuits alleging a connection between the use of Kenvue's Tylenol in pregnancy and autism could be reinstated. That's that would be a big deal. Who bought Kenvue recently? I thought that was not a good purchase at all.
It wasn't Johnson & Johnson.
No, it was Kimberly Clark, wasn't it?
That's right. Yep.
Diapers and autism, and a diaper stock, in my opinion. But they're I don't know if there's anything in the contract about who assumes the liability there. Of course, it really hasn't been proven 100%. In fact, most people seem to be skeptical about it, and it's because a lot of people don't like RFK, and anything that comes out of RFK's mouth can't have much validity to it. But, you know, if they start allowing these lawsuits, that could get real ugly, and that's going to really bring in the intense scientific research on this, because there could be a lot of money at stake if they can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt the connection between Tylenol and autism. So anyways, Elon Musk visits the White House for his first time since his rift with the Trump. He was there at the big dinner last night with Saudi Arabia, other business leaders, Tim Cook, David Ellison, Mark Benioff, Bill Ackman. I didn't get my invitation. I don't know what happened to me. It got lost in the mail. But Elon Musk, XAI, $230 billion valuation. And, of course, it's a private company. We'll be right back.
The city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the Best Stocks Now show, the second quarter. Goldman Sachs president John Waldron states that markets are primed for possible further declines, and investors will be closely watching key earnings results from semiconductor giant NVIDIA. He says, it strikes me the market could pull back further from here, Waldron said in an interview on the sidelines of Bloomberg's New Economy Forum in Singapore on Wednesday. I did listen to some of the comments coming out of that that meeting, the forum that they had in Singapore. And I think that the consensus for most people is a shallow correction will continue. That's just the gist I took away from. And it's like I say, we don't have a problem with the economy. We don't have a problem with earnings. This was another blockbuster quarter. It was a record, all-time record quarter for an earnings haul for Wall Street. It was an all-time record for profit margin. Hey, I thought the tariffs were supposed to cut into these companies' profit margins. Instead, they turn around and they produce record profit margins. Incredible. What we have, and I continue to say, is a multiple problem, and it was that 23X that I think kind of put in a top for the market for now. At about the same time, the Fed said, I don't know about another interest rate to cut this year in December. You know, Powell's going to, he's not going to help Trump in any way possible. He's not a happy camper. And he's leaving in May, and the sooner the better. I don't think he's done a very good job, but that's just me. A shallow correction is pretty much the consensus out there. But there's always those that say, oh, we're going to march on to new highs. AI spending is through the roof. But, you know, the problem is a lot of that's been priced into the market. And that 23X forward P.E. ratio for the S&P 500 is a formidable number. It seems to be a ceiling. It has been for the last 5 years. Now, on the rare earth front, a couple of big things. When I was in San Diego for many, many years, and my office was on the waterfront in downtown San Diego, and my wife and I lived in had a condo down there for a while on the Embarcadero with a view clear to Mexico. It was quite stunning, and the Pacific Ocean and everything. And there used to be this mega yacht that would come into the harbor, and it was Gina Rinehart, who is a giant. She's the Australia's richest person. I'm pretty sure it was Rinehart's mega yacht. They just said it was a big magnet in commodities, and that's where she's made all of her money in Australia. It's obviously a very mineral-rich country.
Big mining country, yeah.
Big mining country. She's the largest shareholder now in MP Materials, raising her stake in the U.S. rare earth producers to 8.4%. After acquiring an additional 1 million shares. She's got some pretty good company there, too. Reinhardt's net worth is $32 billion, which is peanuts compared to Elon Musk. but she derived most of her wealth from iron ore assets in Western Australia. Well, MP Materials, I believe, is the number one rare earth company in America. And I have good company there. The U.S. Department of Energy has made an investment in that. I can't tell you how many times I drove by that thing as a kid. my sister went to Brigham Young University for a couple of years, and we used to go visit her off and on, and you always go right by the MP Materials the Mountain Pass. You go right through Mountain Pass going up the way. My brother owned a restaurant in Provo, Utah for a while he went to Brigham Young University. My little brother went to Brigham Young. I went for one semester to Brigham Young University. So I have made that trip many times from the Southern California area up to the Provo, Utah area, going right by Mountain Pass. And who knew that all those rare earths sitting under the ground there would someday come to the fore. And we also own Mountain Pass, and we did increase our stake in it before I found out about Reinhardt increasing hers. And guess who else is investing in it? MP Materials, U.S. Department of War farm, a rare earth refining joint venture with Saudi Arabia's company Maiden. They're taking a big stake in it too, and of course, the president of Saudi Arabia has been in town in Washington D.C. With Trump. They are pretty buddy buddy. There seems to be some kind of bromance there between the two of them. We used to see the uncle of the current leader of Saudi Arabia at the racetrack, at the Del Mar racetrack.
Oh, yeah. That makes
he
sense.
Owned the Thoroughbred Corp, which had some beautiful horses, man, under Bob Baffert and Officer. I remember the horse Officer, who I think won a Kentucky Derby. I think the Prince won a Kentucky Derby. He passed away, and that was the end of the Thoroughbred Corp. And then his other cousin or uncle owns Bobby Frankel's old place in, that he trained for, Judd Monty Farms in Kentucky, which you're talking turf horses, man, like tremendous athletes. And so anyways, I've kind of followed the Saudi Arabia. They like the racehorses. Now, the current guy, he is not into racehorses. He's into rare earth minerals.
He's into rare earth minerals, and hopefully he's not into Lucid Motors.
No, but this rare earth separation and refinery, refining is a big deal, and that's where I see MP, they're getting into that big time, and I think there's going to be a lot of other players in there. But anyways, the initiative builds on MP Materials' multi-billion-dollar public-private partnership with the Department of War. So I think if you want exposure, there is an ETF, REMX. A lot of those rare earth stocks were doing very well yesterday, after a very steep sell-off. But the bottom line is the clock is ticking on that one-year extension that China gave us, and China is restricting. They're not exactly opening the floodgates and letting rare earth out because they know what a strategic thing that they are. So I think it's going to be full speed ahead here in the U.S. Blue Owl, oh, God, that's horrible. Just the merger of the two private credit funds, they called off the merger because the stock started to reel. This private credit thing, I'm just going to continue to sound the warning. I can just tell you that a lot of my competitors in the RIA space are getting into private credit in a big way. You know, and there is really no way. I think the only way to bet against it is there are some inverse funds on just the financials in general. But it's these BDCs, Barry, that have a lot of exposure there in the private credit markets. And that's just a disaster waiting to happen. When we come back, there's a couple big deals going down, including Constellation Energy and some nuclear news. We'll be right back.
to the top brass, don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Show Now show. Adobe announces a $2 billion deal to acquire Semrush. You know, I've been looking at Adobe. It definitely is a candidate for the value, relative value portfolio, but it just does not have any momentum whatsoever. It's just stuck in the mud, and it has, you know, really slowed down. The growth has slowed down to 8, 9, 10%, which for a software company, it's not going to support those big multiples anymore that it used to support. But I keep an eye on it. I mean, they are a major player. They were a total disruptor, especially for the printing industry, right? And they, I used to drop off. I used to go to the rock concerts near my home in San Diego when I was a kid with my camera, take pictures, and then take my 35-millimeter film and get it developed overnight and be the first one to press with photos from last night's rock concert, whether it was Elton John or Led Zeppelin or Leonard Skinner or Paul McCartney and Wings. I saw them all, got a lot of photographs from them. And then we used to go to drop them off at Dean's Photo Mat and get them anywhere to get your prints. Those were the days. Now it's all Photoshop, digital.
No more dark rooms.
No, huh? PDF files. I learned how to develop, photography with the old Kodak stuff and everything. But anyways.
Yeah, we learned that at school. It was interesting. Yeah, you just go in the room. You had the dark room, and then you put the paper into the
swirling it around.
Pans. And images start appearing, and it's pretty amazing,
neat,
actually. Yeah.
But I used to stink up my mother's, she used to get mad at me with all the chemicals and everything. Constellation Energy, which we added to yesterday, wins a $1 billion Department of Energy loan to open Three Mile Island nuclear power plant, which brought about the whole no nukes movement. They moved on to whales after that. No save the whales. I just look at the Crosby,
not
Stills.
No whales. Not a no whales concert. Save the whales.
And a lot of music came from my era, either anti-Vietnam War protest. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they did some beautiful songs. Won't You Please Come to Chicago, blah, 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 this and that. And the No Nukes concert, which produced some really nice music out of it and everything. Now, there still is a No Nuke element today, but it's certainly not coming from tech out there in Silicon Valley. They're begging for a nuclear energy, which, by the way, in simple terms, is a hot rock being thrown into water, heating up that water, really, for a long, long time, years, decades, and then deriving energy from that water and the steam. And that hot rock is enriched uranium. So it's quite the deal.
I love the hot rock.
Yeah, hot rock.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yes, and that's, of course, there are several uranium stocks out there. Oklo gets a big deal here. Oklo and Siemens Energy out of Germany to expedite power conversion procurement for a commercial plant. Oklo seems to be, I think, one that will be around. Them and Nano, if you're getting down and delving into the small modular reactors, those are probably two that are going to survive. Lightbridge would be another one, which is coming up with
a new and improved fuel, the hot rock part of the equation, because it does take a long time to enrich uranium. Just ask the Iranians, or uranium. The Iranians had all those enrichment programs going on for years, and I think we set back that program maybe forever with you know, our attack on them. But anyways, the Oklo, a lot of this is going on at the Idaho National Laboratory. And I actually have relatives that work at the Idaho National Laboratory, and I talk to them a little bit about what is going on there. And they've been pro-nuclear for many years up in that neck of the woods. So anyways, they've got the fuel, the site, and plant power conversion system. This is taking place between Oklo and Siemens Energy, which is out of Germany. XPeng lands a bull rating from Daiwa amid its robo-taxi and humanoid robot initiatives. So, you know, and this is kind of what people are hanging their hat on for the future of Tesla. I was listening to Ron Barron being interviewed, who is a very well-known billionaire, multi-billionaire growth investor that learned a long time ago, decades ago, that stocks follow earnings. And his Barron Growth Fund has done very well over the years, creating multimillionaires, including his employees who all have a stake in the mutual funds that Barron runs. And he was talking about how much money that his fund has made off of Elon, his funds have made off of Elon Musk. Investing in Elon Musk companies over the years. He's still a big Tesla bull, and he says that the future growth will come from the humanoid robots, which will someday be a standard thing that everybody in America has to have, just like a television set was. But it doesn't come without competition, because XPeng, which also makes EVs, they're going full speed ahead with robo-taxi and humanoid robot initiatives. And China's pretty good at the robots. They may even be ahead of us. Now, I remember these science fairs that I used to go to when they were first coming out with robots, right? That was the big thing. And now it's the advancements in robots. We actually met with somebody while we were in San Jose, which I can't wait to get back there early next year, that works in that section of Musk business, right? Making
That's
the humanoid
right.
robots. That would be kind of interesting. I wonder what they talk about at lunch, you know, with the robots and feed the basketball schedule in there and try to figure out what to gamble on that night. Let the robots figure it out with their AI. But anyways, will that be a big thing? Will that be the big next thing for Musk? Well, his dang AI initiative, that stock is now worth $150 billion, and it's a private company. But, you know, that's a highly competitive thing, that AI, and I don't think there's going to be that many survivors. Maybe there will be. Maybe they'll carve out niches. That's probably what's got to happen. In the meantime, the sports betting world has been turned upside down by the prediction markets, and those stocks have tanked. I think that's a lesson on know when to hold them and know when to fold them. That was a Kenny Rogers song.
Know when to walk away and know when to run.
That's exactly right. I mean, I owned Flutter for the longest time because of the explosion in sports betting. Which, you know, can be argued whether it's good or bad. We've already got some major league pitchers now getting busted. We've had some big scandal in the NBA with that point guard. But Flutter has just been slaughtered. We got out at 279. It peaked at 313. Okay, so we didn't get out too far from the top. What's it done since then after we got out at 279? It's at 192. I don't know if you had a chance, Barry, but I sent over about 10 charts from yesterday I don't know if you had a chance to look at those, how they reproduce. I had to make a PDF file out of them because they were so large.
Yeah, I liked it. I knew you were talking about bringing, you know, putting the book together and sending it over. It
Kiss nice. Of Death chart. Well, Flutter made the Kiss of Death chart. I can see right where I sold it when it made a Kiss of Death. That's when it breaks support at 279. Why is it I call that the Kiss of Death? Because the next stop is now it's at 192. It's down 87 points since then. So I think being in the market every day. I heard another interview today. This guy just happens to be a muni bond guy. That's his passion in life is municipal bonds, which, you know,
which means
look,
you want bad things. Which means you want bad things to happen.
And, I know. I mean, infrastructure and selling sewer bonds. That's not exactly that exciting to me. But he watches. He says not only does he run the fund for Goldman Sachs, he does the trading. And I said, you know, he's like me. Not only do I run the funds here, but I do my own trading here when I make the buys. We made a couple major purchases yesterday, by the way. But that's how you really are in it, you know, up to your neck watching these charts on a daily basis. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, while you're at work and doing your thing, and you might be a dentist or dental assistant or whatever the case may be, stocks are moving individually on a daily basis. And honestly, I've said this before, if I was on a desert island and could only have one tool to manage money with, would it be earnings estimates? Would it be the momentum and performance numbers, or would it be the charts? I would take the charts because the charts tell me a lot. You know, I don't think you can do it with charts alone, but boy, you can sure learn a lot by looking at a chart. So I gave I sent them some examples yesterday. The Kiss of Death, there's a couple, three that I would mention right now. And I'll tell you, and they're getting worse. Boeing has a horrible chart. Now, it's a member of the Dow. So that's why that's a significant one that I look at on a daily basis as a bellwether. I wrote in at 240 on the chart. I make notes on the charts, my digital charts. I said, be Boeing top. And I put a question mark because it was going sideways at the top, and then it started to roll over. I did call the top on Boeing, and it's down 50 points from there, and now it's threatening to really, really break down. That is a horrible chart. That's a Kiss of Death chart. It has a relative strength of 39 on a scale of 1 to 99, and that may surprise you that underneath the surface of a Dow that's been hitting new highs, you've got a chart like that. Another one that is a kind of a Kiss of Death, and why is this important? I'll tell you in a minute. Visa. Visa is breaking support, okay? We have a client that transferred in a very large position in Visa, and he's got some pretty decent capital gains in that thing, and there's some tough decisions to make. And I had Barry call him and say, you know, I know you've got big capital gains in this stock, but we think you ought to cut. Bill thinks you ought to cut your position in half, and he agreed to it. And he was thankful for the call. That's where I go outside of the stocks we own that we have people transfer these stocks into us, and we have 13 people here at Gunderson that own Costco. And it adds up to about $500,000 or something like that. Costco is breaking down. It has, believe it or not, a Kiss of Death chart. Costco is way off of its high. This was a Teflon stock, Barry, people love Costco so much. Well, I would tie the breakdown in Costco to the rise in inflation. I mean, how much does it cost now to go buy a four-pack of ribeye steaks, 2 inches thick, you know, prime beef? You got to take out a loan. You've got to get a Klarna loan. Of course, then they turn around and sell that. I saw that one of these big funds bought a bunch of Klarna debt. That's private credit.
By the way, 52-week low in Costco, actually.
Yes, I think that inflation has hurt them, and, of course, the growth is compressing. The growth is high single digits these days, all right? That is not a pretty chart whatsoever.
In a 44, and still a 44, I mean, we know, it, like I said, it's got a cult following, Teflon stock, but a 44 forward P.E. ratio, you know, for a retailer. So.
Yes, for, you know... very small margins. You know, I've heard that without the annual
membership
fees, yeah, that their profit margin is very, very thin. Home Depot has just a horrid chart. It has for a long time, and the kiss of death hit it yesterday. It had a kiss of death 2 weeks ago, and the stock got slaughtered yesterday, because by kiss of death, I mean this thing could really go down. Once it breaks that support level, heaven knows where that next level of support is. And then there's the hang in there baby chart, I call it. AMD has one of those right now. That's like that cat hanging on to that,
support, right?
Barely hanging in there, ready to drop. And then there's the very good stock that is firming up after a little bit of a pullback. For me, that's a buy, and that's what Constellation Energy did yesterday. And we moved in and bought some for new clients, and they had good news today with that loan. We have the breakout chart. All of a sudden, it's breaking out to new highs. Barrick Mining, which is probably the blue chip. It's the second biggest gold miner in the world. And I read that Elliott Management, usually there's a reason behind these things. Elliott Management is building a huge stake in Barrick Mining. And then there's the potential breakout. Well, Exxon and BP have had potential breakouts now several times this year. And every time they've threatened to break out to new highs through that resistance level, they failed. And they're failing again here today. But I have been watching them for that potential. So that's what's underneath the surface of the market. I guarantee you that 98% of registered investment advisors out there, they have no clue. You know, if somebody were to call them and say, hey, you've got me in Costco. Are you aware that that thing is breaking down? Are you aware that my Boeing stock, Bill Gunderson says that's a kiss of death? Now, that doesn't mean it's going to go down 20 or 30% from here. But that also makes me a little bit not that optimistic on the market right now at this level, because you're seeing leadership stocks like this. Big, huge members of the indexes like Boeing, like Costco, like Visa, like MasterCard, like Home Depot, they have horrid charts. How are you going to get a good market breaking out to the upside? I never hear these market analysts mention that, that the parts don't look very good. Well, the parts make up the indices. And if you know what the parts are doing, you can make a pretty good prediction on what the indice is going to do, in my opinion. So anyways, I think the time that I spend underneath the water every day with my snorkel and my fins and my mask looking at these charts is invaluable insight into the market. And then there's the precarious chart. Robinhood has a very precarious chart. I don't want to own. If I've got a big profit and all of a sudden you've got a precarious chart, it might be time to take the money and run. Well, anyways, that's what we do here at Gunderson Capital Management. We do look underneath the surface daily on every holding that we have and potential holdings that we're looking at to know where they're at any given time. I think that really separates us from the rest of the crowd. Maybe 1% or 2% of the firms out there do the kind of work underneath the surface that we do for you, the client. To give us, talk to us about money management, call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To get 4 weeks, man, we have got so many people subscribing. It's been a banner year for do-it-yourselfers. Get a 4-week trial at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.